Several years ago, friends of mine from Scotland were coming to Charlotte, and I went to meet them at the airport. And as we were leaving, and I was paying for the parking lot, the woman taking my money said as we left, "Have a good day." And my Scottish friend said, "Do you know this person?" I said, "No, I've never met them before." She said to you, "Have a good day." I said, "Yeah." I said, "That's what Americans do." In Scotland, we might ignore the person, tell them to get on their way, or perhaps say cheerio. Have a good day. I realize it can be a bit of a cliche, yet behind it may be a genuine desire that the person receiving a greeting will in fact have a good day. All of us want not only a good day, but a good life. But what is a good day? What is a good life? For most people, a good day is when things go well, when we're happy, when there are no problems or hassles in our life, when everything goes smoothly, then we have a good day. On the other hand, we have a bad day when there are problems. Our car breaks down. The cat is sick on the carpet. Someone at work is difficult. Our spouse or our children irritate us. Something bad goes wrong in our ideas, and we say we've had a bad day. We're going to read from Scripture how you can have and how I can have a good day. In fact, not only a good day, but a good life. And our passage, written by the Apostle Peter as we're going consecutively through this wonderful epistle, gives us instruction regarding loving life and having a good day. Do you love life? Do you have a good day? Would you say your life is good? Writing to persecuted and suffering Christians, Peter gives us wonderful instruction so that all of us who love Jesus Christ will have good days and live lives pleasing to God. This is remarkable. Here is the point. If we live our lives God's way, blessings will be on us. Let's stand and read our text. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to be reading from verses 8 through 12. Read with me. "Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Amen. Please be seated. Remarkable passage, and we're going to learn that having a good day begins with godly attitudes. That is, the key to having a good life is not the circumstances that you may experience, but your attitude. Now remember, Peter is writing to persecuted Christians. By most people's definitions, these Christians were not having a good day, were not having a good life. Some of them had been driven from their homes. They are persecuted. They are suffering. As we've seen, that one of the themes of 1 Peter is suffering. They are not living, you would think, the good life. But here is the point. Although they have little or no control over the circumstances of their life, they are responsible for their attitudes, for their response to the circumstances. This is a difficult lesson for all of us, isn't it? That for the Christian, external circumstances do not determine whether or not we have a good day. Having a good day, as Peter is going to tells us, begins with our attitude, begins with our response to the circumstances, not reacting to the circumstances, but responding to the God who is sovereign over all of life. There are people, I'm sure none of you, who are always complaining, who look on the negative. Unless everyone accommodates them, they say they don't feel good. They're thinking they have a bad day. That is not the way of followers of Jesus Christ. Often we can't change our circumstances, but we can control our attitudes. Easy to have a good attitude when you're treated well. But when we're treated badly, as these Christians were, it is essential that we have the right attitude. So I ask you, how do you respond to the difficulties in your life? Perhaps your difficult marriage. Perhaps a demanding work situation where you're treated unfairly in the marketplace. Children, students, how do you respond when you've got a difficult teacher, a difficult coach? Your friends make life difficult for you. You're stressed, perhaps. Some of us may be stressed in our ministry as you're serving the Lord here at Calvary or beyond Calvary. You're trying to please the Lord, and yet things are very, very difficult. How is your attitude? Peter here gives us five components for a good attitude. So if you've got your Bible, turn with me to the passage we've read, 1 Peter 3, verse 8. And the first attitude, he says, finally, all of you have unity of mind. One translation says, live in harmony with one another. That is, be like-minded. Peter begins, as we live with others, to have an attitude of harmony. Many homes, many workplaces, many churches are in conflict. We have different views, we have different opinions. And our enemy loves to produce strife, loves to produce disharmony in our homes, disharmony in the churches, disharmony between brothers and sisters in Christ. But the Holy Spirit produces not conflict, not disharmony, but peace, harmony, unity of mind. Don't be a person of conflict. Some people are always creating trouble. Some people pride themselves that they stir things up. Don't be like that. Don't be a person of contention. Don't be a person of disharmony. Consider the interests of others rather than your own. Having a good day begins with unity of mind, harmony. Pursue harmony. Next is sympathy. To suffer with someone, to share in their sufferings. Paul writes in Romans 12, we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Have you ever wept with someone? Not because of your circumstances, but because of theirs. It's not just understanding someone's difficulties. It's certainly not pitying someone. Pity can be very condescending as we look down on someone. No, sympathy, an essential attribute of the Christian faith, is coming alongside an individual, entering into their situation, sharing their feelings. Many of you have done that. Brother or sister here has gone through a difficult time, a bereavement, a difficult medical situation, a problem at work, a problem in their family. And what have you done? Not to be remote, but to be sympathetic, coming alongside others. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing to receive, as I have received, and as my wife has received, in our time of bereavement, to have brothers and sisters who come alongside us and share our situation. A godly attitude then embraces, first of all, unity of mind. Secondly, sympathy. Third, brotherly love. We've seen this before. This is the Greek word from which we get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Can I remind you, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're part of the same family. We have the same Heavenly Father. We have the same Savior. And this brotherly love is to be genuine. It's to be demonstrated. Don't be afraid to demonstrate your brotherly love to others. We live in a cold world, don't we? We live in a hurting world. We need one another. Simon and Garfunkel had that wonderful hit, I am a rock, I'm an island. A rock never cries, and an island feels no pain. Well, we're not rocks, we're not islands, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We sometimes hurt, we need one another, and the injunction of Scripture is let brotherly love continue. Love one another. That's one of our themes. Don't be remote, don't stand off, but reach out to your brothers and sisters in Christ. A godly attitude then has unity of mind, has sympathy, has brotherly love. How are you doing so far? Convicting, isn't it? And then Peter says, a tender heart. This is kindness. This is compassion. Again, don't be cold, don't be detached and aloof from others in need. Be kind. Love is kind, Peter says. Be kind to one another, the scripture says. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. This is the characteristic of the Christian, that they are tender-hearted. That's not weakness. We saw last week, as we thought of Peter writing to husbands, he tells us to live in an understanding way, that we are husbands, we are to be tender to our wives. That's not weakness, that's not being a wimp, that is spiritual strength, tenderness. Some people at church are very polite, very sweet, until you sit in their pew. That tests our sanctification, doesn't it? Seriously, do you show kindness to that new person who comes to Calvary? Students, are you kind to that boy, that girl who comes to your Sunday school class, youth ministry for the first time? Adults, what about the way you reach out in kindness to that new person in your life group? Have a tender heart. A good attitude, a godly attitude, embraces a tender heart. And then he says, a humble mind. This is convicting, isn't it? Our world is very assertive, very aggressive, self-serving, self-absorbed. Have an attitude of humility. Again, a key virtue for followers of Jesus Christ, to be humble. Not a false modesty. Not denying the gifts and abilities that God has given us, not a fake humility, but a humble mind. That characterized our Lord Jesus, didn't it? Think of the order of the towel in John 13, when there was no one to wash the disciples' feet. No slave was there. No child was there. No woman was there who would normally do it. And as they looked at each other, these proud disciples looking for someone to serve, to their utter astonishment, our Lord takes that towel, takes that basin, and goes down and washes the feet of a motley crew of his disciples. Are you like that? Peter is going to say in chapter 5, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Pride is judgmental. Pride is critical of others. If you find yourself being very critical, very judgmental, that's an evidence of pride. What about in your marriage? Essential to a good marriage is humility. Humility of mind. Essential to the harmony in the Church of Jesus Christ. Our leaders who are humble, our servants who are humble. Division, carnality is evidenced when there is pride. God is opposed to the proud, gives grace to the humble. So will you embrace these qualities? Stop waiting for people to reach out to you. Living a good life begins with these godly attitudes. Harmony, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Good days are determined, and not by your circumstances, but by your attitude towards others. Every day, you can be tender to someone. Every day, you can be kind to someone. Every day, you can be humble before others. Having a good day, then, first, begins with godly attitude. Secondly, having a good day is sustained by godly actions. Verses 9 through 11, do not repay. Are we listening to this? Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that is called by God, that you may obtain a blessing. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. When you're misunderstood, when you're hurting, when you're criticized, when you're persecuted, yes, unfairly, don't retaliate. When we're hurt, we often want revenge, don't we? Now, Peter's readers are persecuted. They're insulted. And to seek revenge, to retaliate when someone does evil to us, is the natural thing to do. When we're hurt, when we're upset, we want to pay back. A college professor answered his phone at 3 a.m. "This is your neighbor," professor, said the voice. "Your dog is barking and keeping me awake." Professor thanked him and put down the phone. The next morning at 3 a.m., the professor called his neighbor at exactly 3 a.m. and woke him up. "This is the professor. I just want you to know I don't have a dog." We all feel like the professor, don't we? Someone disturbs us. Someone hurts us, and our natural reaction is to get back. Don't be that. What is Peter saying? Verse 9, do not repay evil for evil. Has anyone done evil against you? The answer is yes. All of us have experienced that. All of us have experienced some reviling that is slander. You have a good day if you don't retaliate. See, if you retaliate, you know what happens? You get bitter, you get anxious, this hurt, this humiliation, this slander against you keeps reverberating through your mind. Don't do that. And can I say, don't trade insults on social media. You say, well, there's a lot of clowns out there. Yes, and you may be one of them. Don't do it. Don't get involved in insulting people on social media. See, we often justify our own attitudes and actions by blaming others who hurt, who injure, and abuse us. But in spite of these very difficult circumstances, we must not retaliate. We are never to repay evil for evil. We're never to repay slander for slander. That is the spirit of Christ. That is the way of the Christian. That is how Christians make a difference in our world. And Peter, to make his point, gives the authority of Psalm 34, which we'll look at in a minute. One of the ways, one of the most common ways we demonstrate a bad attitude is by our speech. Didn't he say that? Keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. All insulting speech, all lying, all gossip, all deceitfulness ought to end. Charles Spurgeon said, if all men's sins were divided into two bundles, half of them would be sins of the tongue. You know, having a good day is control your tongue. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. What's the example of our Lord Jesus Christ? We read about it in chapter 2. Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he was threatened, he did not respond. That's your example. This is to which you're called. Don't be mean-spirited. Don't be foul-mouthed. Don't be insulting. Don't seek revenge. Insulting words and actions have no place in living a good life that pleases God. What are you to do? Instead of insulting the person who's hurt you, instead of retaliating, instead of showing that you can give as good as them, what are you to do? You're to bless those who offend you. It's called loving your neighbor as yourself. It's called loving your enemies. This is the Beatitudes. This is the teaching of Jesus. This is the teaching that Peter has learned from the lips of our Lord and seen in action for 3 years as he followed him. And now, as a mature man, as he's writing, he's giving the example of Jesus and saying, now, when you're insulted, when you're persecuted, when that person does evil to you, you're not only not to retaliate, you are to bless them. You ever done that? How do you respond to the person who upset you? Perhaps at work, perhaps your neighbor, perhaps in your family, someone who criticizes you, someone who offends you. Maybe someone, maybe a brother, maybe a sister in your family or a brother and sister here at Calvary. Here is the way to have good days. Refrain from rendering evil for evil. Refrain from giving an insult when you have been insulted. Bring a blessing to that person. Be kind to them. What are we to do? Let them seek peace and pursue it. Here you are in a difficult situation at work. You may be criticized because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And instead of retaliating, and instead of standing aloof, what are you to do? You're to think of ways of blessing these people, of being kind to them. Here is someone who goes through a difficult illness. Here is someone who goes through a loss. Here is someone whose marriage is falling apart, and they're the very individual who are making life difficult for you. Instead of retreating, instead of saying, well, I'm really glad that's happened, that will keep them humble. No, you are to go to them and think of ways of blessing them. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be a demonstration of true Christianity to reach out and to bless this individual who's pretty obnoxious? To give grace to those who hear. Remember Paul writes in Ephesians 4? He tells us not to have corrupting speech, but our speech should give grace to those who hear. I know some people like that. You interact with them, and their lips give grace. I know other people, after a conversation with them, you feel like going home and having a shower. You're almost polluted by the way that they speak. A young lady, in speaking to John Wesley, the great preacher, said, I think I know what my talent is. Wesley said, tell me. She said, I think it is to speak my mind. Wesley said, I don't think God would mind if you bury that talent. You pride yourself in speaking your mind. It's good to speak your mind sometimes. We're to speak truth. That is true. We're to speak the truth. But we're to speak the truth in love. We are to bless others. I praise God for the many people at Calvary Church who reach out and bless others. Not only here, but in your neighborhoods and at your work. What a blessing. We bless unbelievers when we share the gospel with them. We are called, Peter is saying, that we might obtain, verse 9, a blessing. God blesses us when we bless others. God's grace comes on us, and now through us, that grace, that kindness, that love that we receive from our great God through His Spirit, now we radiate that grace and that love and that kindness to others. As I say, we live in a cruel world. You understand, I've spoken to them as people have told me their background. Some people know very, very little of kindness. And it shocks them when someone is kind to them. Not because they're trying to manipulate them, but because of Christian love, of reaching out to someone with sympathy. Think of our world, the chaos and the negativity, and the tremendous levels of anxiety among children and students and adults. We live in a very insecure, anxious world. How wonderful for you to come to such people and give them a blessing. Verse 11, seek peace and pursue it. Wise parents pursue peace in their home. Wise parents do all they can to promote harmony in their home. I know that. My mother, particularly with six boys, would quote to us time and time again, Psalm 133, verse 1, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. We began by singing about that. You know in your family, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. If you're a father, you're a mother, for your children to dwell in unity. You know it's a heartbreak when brothers and sisters in your own family fight each other or are alienated from you. Seek peace. Pursue it. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers in every circumstance. Pursue peace. Pursue reconciliation. So when someone slanders you, don't ignore that person, but have a good life. And do what Jesus says. Be a peacemaker. Here it is. Pursue peace, seek peace, and pursue it. Action point. Bless that person who criticizes you. Bless that person who persecutes you and upsets you and irritates you. Be kind to them. Help them. Pursue peace. And then finally, in verse 12, having a good day is motivated by living in the Lord's presence. Each day, have an awareness that you're living in the presence of the Lord. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Do you realize that God is watching you? And his ears are open to their prayers. That is the prayers of the righteous. The prayers of those who've been saved by the grace of God. The prayers of those who are authentic followers of Jesus Christ. The eyes of the Lord are on us. His ear is open to our prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. If you do evil, God is against you. If you're proud, God opposes you. But how wonderful to have a good life as day by day you understand that the eyes of the Lord are on me. And his ears are open to my request. Peter is quoting Psalm 34. Let's go to Psalm 34. If you've got your Bible there, Psalm 34. Psalm 34 is one of the great Psalms of the Psalter. We won't read it all. I commend you to do it. But Peter is quoting from verse 12. Let me read it. What man is there who desires love and loves many days that he may say good? Is there anyone here who wants to love many days? Is there anyone here who wants the good life? Answer, yes, I want that, Lord. All right, what am I to do? Verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. No lies, no deceit from the lips of the believer. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That's what Peter is quoting. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous and his ears towards their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Peter is quoting from the Psalm. What's the context of Psalm 34? David is being persecuted while he's in exile. And the point is this. Just as God delivered David from his enemies, God will deliver you. Don't be anxious. Don't be overwhelmed in your difficult circumstances. That's the point. That's the context of Psalm 34. That's why Peter is quoting it in 1 Peter 3. God was watching David. God's ear was open to this great man. And God is watching you, particularly in your difficulties, particularly in your struggles, particularly when we find life very, very difficult. No need to be anxious. This is a great comfort, isn't it? See, godly living is motivated by understanding the omniscience of God, his complete knowledge, and his goodness. Proverbs 5:21, for a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths, living in the Lord's presence. I prayed for our children, that they would grow up and walk in a path of righteousness. That's true for you today, tomorrow. Walk in the paths of righteousness. Live your life in accordance with the Word of God. And as you do that, here is something wonderful, that God's ear is open to your requests. God wants to respond to our prayers as we ask for His help, as we ask for His guidance, as we ask each day for His wisdom, as we ask each day for His blessing. What an incredible motivation to live a good life and to pursue good days. God is not only watching over us, He's there to meet our every spiritual need. Here is a mother of a newborn baby. Is the ear of that mother open to the baby? Yes, she hears that baby. And when the baby cries, she goes and attends to the need of that baby. Is God a better parent than we are? Of course, our Heavenly Father. And here is a picture that as you, a parent, a father or mother, you are tuned to the voice of your children. And if it's a wise request from your children, you will do all you can to meet that request. How wonderful in our struggles, in our difficult days. How wonderful for the first century readers being persecuted to know that in the middle of their persecution, God is watching over them and God's ear is open to their requests. Verse 17 of Psalm 34, if I can read a little further. When the righteous cry for help. Have you ever done that? You ever been in a situation which is totally out of your control? I have. It's a horrible situation, isn't it? I like to solve problems. I like to feel I can navigate my life pretty well. But God often brings us to our knees, doesn't he? In situations where we realize this is out of my control. When the righteous cry for help, do you hear this? The Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. Situation where you think you cannot make it. A situation where you feel you can hardly make another step. Situation where you think, I don't know if I can get through this day. Cry out to the Lord. He delivers them out of all of their troubles. Verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. See, if you're not humble before the Lord, there is no salvation. In coming to Christ, there's an acknowledgement that we can't save ourselves, that I need your salvation, Lord, the one who died for my sins. It is in Christ alone who died for our sins, was buried, and rose again, that my total dependence is on this one for salvation. We sang it, in Christ alone. And now, as we navigate our life, we find all kinds of situations. Instead of retaliating, instead of insulting, I am to bless that person. And I am to cry out to my Heavenly Father who hears my cry for help, who's going to deliver me, and He's near to the brokenhearted, and He saves the crushed in spirit. Some of you have experienced that, don't you? But the Lord's face is against the evil. The idea of the face of the Lord is a picture of the judgment of God. Don't resist God. Don't go your own way. The Lord is against you. No, humble yourself before God, repent of your sin, and live a life of good days. Live a life of the blessing of God. If you're having a difficult life, it may be because of your ungodly attitudes and actions. You've never repented before God. You've never received Christ as your Savior. Instead of pursuing peace, you're pursuing conflict. Brother, sister, you are saved by the grace of God, but perhaps you're involved in that which is evil. Perhaps instead of turning the other cheek, you're retaliating and you're taking pride in your retaliation. Pursue peace. Instead of criticizing that person, show them love. Reach out in grace. Turn away from evil. Do good. Seek peace. Pursue it. What a change that would be in our homes, our relationships at Calvary Church, if we obeyed these simple instructions. What is Peter saying? Even when you're surrounded by difficult circumstances, you cannot have a good day. You can have a long life of blessing if you follow the example of the perfect man, Jesus Christ, who in the midst of suffering entrusted everything to his Father, the righteous judge. So instead of reacting to circumstances in the flesh, respond to God. Do you get it? Instead of reacting in the flesh, do what the righteous do and cry out to God for help. That's the way to live a good life. That's the way to a long life. Begins by humility. Begins by the acknowledgement of our sin. It begins each day by living in the presence of the Lord and having these wonderful attitudes of humility and sympathy and a tender heart and a unity of mind and pursuing peace, seeking peace with all of your heart. And when you're criticized, instead of retaliating, bless that person. And when you're at the end of yourself in these terrible circumstances, don't be bitter against God, but rather cry out to him in humility. And he draws near in our time of need, in our time of difficulty, and reveals once again to us his kindness and his goodness, his strength and his power, that we will live a good life and a long life. Let's pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. I ask that, Father, a blessing on each person here, that you, your face will not be against us for evil, but that you will smile upon us, that you will be gracious to us, that you will be merciful to us, and we in turn will reach out and bless others and live a good life, live a long life, praising you and seeking to bring others to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are mighty to save, that those who are crushed in spirit, you save, that those who are humble, you reach out in blessing and salvation. And for all of that, we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen.